Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat. Today we are in Genesis chapter 16, verse 6, and this is our 15th lecture in the book of Genesis. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Picking right up where we left off last time, let's follow along together in the Word of God. It says, "So Abram said to Sarai, 'Indeed, your maid is in your hand, to do to her as you please.' And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence." Sarai came to Abram with her problem. And her problem was the slave girl who she gave to her husband to raise up a child for her, which was not God's will. And that's why there's a problem right now. Consequences to sin. So she comes to Abraham with her problem, and instead of dealing with it as the head of the house, instead of talking to Hagar and making it clear that she must respect Sarai, Abraham tells Sarai to deal with it. So she does. And she deals with it in a harsh way. And Hagar then gets fed up and runs away. And it's just problem upon problem here ever since Abraham and Sarai and Hagar sinned. 7. "Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur." Now Shur is on the road to Egypt. Hagar, obviously, is heading back home. Verse 8, "And he said, 'Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going?' She said, 'I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai.'" I like how the angel reminds Sarai that she is Sarah's maid. You know, she didn't ask to be in Abram's household, but that's where she was. She didn't ask to be their servant, but that's what she is. Her duty? Make the best of it. Submit to her authorities, and that means respect her mistress. That means don't run away. 9. "The angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand.'" God tells Hagar to do a very hard thing. And I'm not sure, but she may have preferred to die in that desert rather than return to Sarai. However, God did not give her that as one of her options. She must return. Orders from God. 10. "Then the angel of the Lord said to her, 'I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude.'" Verse 11, "And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Boy, the good news is that Hagar's child will become a great nation. The bad news for Abraham's other descendants, the Israelites, is that that great nation will be the Arabs. That's right. That's where they came from. Think about it. 9/11, high oil prices, suicide bombers, all the Arab-Israeli wars, Iraq, etc., can be traced back to Abraham's failure to say no to Sarah's suggestion that he take Hagar, her handmaid, and have a child through her. Man, you talk about ramifications to sin. Verse 13, "Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are the God who sees.' For she said, 'Have I also here seen him who sees me?' Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy." Observe, it is between Kedesh and Bered. This God of Abram and Sarai, he is no dead statue like they worship back home in Egypt. Hagar met a real God here for the first time in her life, not that old Egyptian phony God that they worship back there. And so Hagar says, "This God sees. And he saw me. And I saw him." By the way, this wasn't just an angel. This was an Old Testament appearance of God in the form of man. This is what is known in theology as a theophany. 15. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So Hagar did return, and she found something out about God. She found out that if God could take care of her in the wilderness, then he could take care of her back home in the service of Sarai. You know, Hagar did not need a change of address. She did not need a change of circumstances. She needed a change of heart. Let's go into chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, and so this is 13 years later, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Now it has been 25 years since God first appeared and told Abram to leave his home. It's been 13 years, as I said, since the birth of his son Ishmael through the servant girl Hagar. And it has been 13 years since the last special revelation from Almighty God. So 13 silent years. Look at verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, stop there for a second. The Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. And yet, when he had this experience with the Lord, it says that he fell down on his face. He fell down, face down, in holy fear and humility. I'll tell you what, we need close times of fellowship with God through the Word and through prayer and through worship. They are important because they will keep us in awe of God, and they will keep us from thinking too highly of ourselves as well. Verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. When you see a name change in Scripture, there's a reason for it. When someone had a change in their circumstances, perhaps, or a change in their rank, or a change in their religion, they would often take a new name that would reflect that change. And that's what happened here with Abram. Abram, his original name, means exalted father, but God changed it to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And that's why he changed his name. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Now, if God doesn't say, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, Abram and Sarai do not stand a chance. Not at their age, and not with Sarah's barren womb. Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. The big promise from God to Abraham and his descendants was that he would be God to them. That's the big promise. God says, I will be your God. You know, all other blessings flow from the fact that God is their God. Now, if God is their God, that implies two things. They will seek to please Him with their devotion and their trust and their faith, and He will bless them because of their devotion and their faith. And the same thing is true for each one of us today. Treat God like God, and He will bless. Verse 8. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, wrong column here, verse 8, also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And there it is again, I will be their God. That land over there belongs to Israel because God made that land, and God owns that land. And therefore, God can grant that land to whoever He wants to have it. They have been kicked out a few times because of disobedience, but they are back there right now, at least partially. and they will have full possession of it as soon as they repent for the sin of killing their Messiah. 9. And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you." Circumcision was sort of like a badge that the males in Israel wore to show that they had a spiritual relationship with Almighty God. It was the physical sign of their spiritual covenant. I have to add this, circumcision never saved a single Jew from hell. It never washed away one single sin. By itself, it was nothing, just like baptism or communion or going to church is nothing by itself. Circumcision, like the things we do today, had to be done, had to be accomplished, accompanied by repentance and faith in order to bring forgiveness. So it's important, but there needed to be faith. Remember, Abraham was saved by faith, not by circumcision. Verse 12. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. Now, I want you to see that God said here in verse 12, that when the Hebrew baby boys, when they are 8 days old, that's when they should be circumcised. Now, this is interesting. At least I think it is. Vitamin K is the thing that causes blood to coagulate. And I have read that on the 8th day of a baby's life, it produces more vitamin K than at any other time. God said, cut the little guy. Circumcise him on day 8. See? God has a reason for everything He says and commands. Long before science knew anything about vitamin K, God said, do it on day 8. More reason to trust the Bible as the Word of God. Wouldn't you say? 13. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child, who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now, let's say someone wasn't circumcised as a baby. Well, they couldn't help that. They're only 8 days old. Not their fault. But let's say he grows up to be a man. And he learns that God says you must be circumcised as a sign of the covenant. If that man says, no, I won't. He is really saying, God, I don't want anything to do with you. That man is damned unless he repents. 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Abraham cannot call his wife Sarai anymore. He cannot. From now on, he must call her Sarah. It is a command that Abraham must obey because it reflects a change in his wife's status. And it also testifies to what God will do through her. You see, I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's just one letter. Yes, it's one letter. God replaces an I with an H. But it is a big deal because God did it. Sarai, her former name, means my lady. Sarah means princess, in other words, a lot of people's lady. And there's not one single letter in the Bible that isn't there for a reason. And this change was there for a reason. 16, and I will bless her, and also give you a son by her, and then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. And so God called her princess because many of her offspring would be kings. And I guess we better stop there for today. We're running out of time. So until next time, this is Michael Moret thanking you for joining me. And we'll see you again next time. So long, everyone.